G'day, how the bloody hell are you, mate? Welcome to episode number 179 of the Average Man Podcast, mate. It is a Monday, so I'm a day behind my usual schedule for these podcasts. That's because I went out and watched the UFC yesterday, mate. I tried to go to the Camfield because I'm still in Perth at the moment. We're leaving in about 2 weeks. Super excited to get on the road. Go into that a little bit more later. So we went out to the what happened to my sound then? So I went out to the Camfield, which is, you know, the big pub sports bar near the Optus Stadium in Burswood there. Thought they'd be playing it for sure. And I was meeting up with a mate who's living down south the river. I'm up north the river, so I thought we'll both convene in towards the city and meet halfway, catch up and watch the fights together. Got to the Camfield and, you know, they weren't open and the fight started in about 10 minutes. And I spoke to a fella there and he said, "Nah, we're not playing it today, mate. Just go try the Burswood instead." Oh, bloody hell. So the Burswood's only a sort of a 10-minute walk from the Camfield. So I started walking over towards the Burswood instead and flicked my mate a text and said, no go on the Camfield, we'll go to the Burswood. Walked over to the Burswood and actually posted a little reel on my Instagram about that because we were there a few weeks back, as you remember, and it cost me a bloody arm and a leg. Been at the Crown, they call it. It's in Burswood, they call it the Crown these days. But it cost us a bloody arm and a leg to do anything there, drink there, eat there, stay there. So I was, you know, a little sort of, less than excited to go back there and spend more money. But it was the nearest thing and we just needed to get there and get into the fights. So I walked over there and they wouldn't let me into the sports bar there because I had a backpack on. You know, I came in on the train and a bus and shit like that, and they wouldn't let me in with a backpack on, which, you know, I was all polite and friendly, didn't make a scene about it, but because there's no point. But it did kind of piss me off a little bit. There's like a dude that walks in next to me with a little roll-on suitcase, and he walked into the casino with that. And not sure where he was going or what he was doing. And then there's like women walking around with huge, you know, the women's handbags are like huge, big, bloody handbags that you could fit a small child in, walking around with those under their arms. And I'm like, so he can go in with like a suitcase, and women can walk around with backpacks with handbags, but I can't go in with a backpack. Like, is it just that specific type of bag? You can't have a bag that sits on your back, but you can have a bag that, you know, goes around your arm or under your arm. What about bum bags? Could I have worn it as a bum bag and then would you have let me in? Or is it just that you don't like my head, dude? Is that what it is? Because, you know, there seemed to be a few bags kicking around there. I was like, well, do you want to just check my bag, man? It's just got some water and a spare shirt and some deodorant and stuff in there. And he's like, nah, mate, nah, sorry, we just can't have backpacks in here. We can't have bags in here. I was like, oh, what can I do with my bag? He's like, nah, I don't know. There's nowhere to put it. We used to have lockers. We don't have them anymore, so I don't know, mate, can't help you. I was like, cool, sweet. So that was strike two on the old sports bar to watch the UFC. So I quickly jumped on Google and went to sports bars near me, and one came up at the Vic Park Hotel, which wasn't too far away. So I flicked my mate another text and said, casino's off, Vic Park Hotel it is. Booked an Uber and jumped in and went around there. And it was a pretty good spot, you know, like I could have got there a bit earlier. I was probably 10, 15 minutes past by the time I got there, and most of the good seats were taken, but I managed to grab a decent enough seat sitting outside with a few TVs in view, even though they had a little bit of glare on them. I got a seat, so it was pretty good, man, and we had a few good beers there and a good pub meal, and, you know, the fights were good fights, but up and down. You know, if you're an Alexander Volkanovski fan like I am, like all Australians are, it was a hard night. You know, he lost his last fight, which was he's the champ. He's the featherweight champ, right? He stepped up on 12 days' notice to fight the lightweight champ, Islam Makhachev, who is that good. Like, he's, you know, top three, top two lightweights of all time. It's probably either him or Khabib Nurmagomedov, who was his sort of like protege. He's Khabib's protege sort of thing. So it was kind of either one, you know, him or Khabib, with the number one lightweights. He's that bloody good, man. And obviously those guys fought a couple of years back, went to a decision and it was sort of champ versus champ, and Volk did really good, like put up a really good fight. A lot of people thought he won the fight. I actually didn't think he won it, even though I love him. I think he only won two rounds of the three, but he put on a super impressive show, won the fifth round, you know, really showed that he can hang with Islam and that he has the tools there to beat him if he, you know, fixes up a few things in the game plan. So then he went back after losing that fight, dominated a guy in his weight division again to retain his featherweight belt. And then on short notice, just late last year, he stepped up to fight the dude on 12 days in Saudi Arabia, which is sort of like, you know, not quite home soil for the Russians, but it's certainly in their neck of the woods. And it did not go to plan. He got head kicked, knocked out in the second round, and it just was like he shouldn't have taken the fight. He wasn't in shape. He wasn't obviously in camp for this guy. He's not the kind of guy you take on a lot on short notice. This guy is one of the best fighters of all time, and he's a bigger man. And he was prepared, and Volk wasn't, and he paid the price for it. So this was his redemption fight, back down at his own weight. He's still a champion, and people are saying he's too old, he's past it, and he had all these antics before the fight where he was dressed up as an old man with the old man golfer's hat and the glasses and like a cardigan and stuff on. It was really funny because he looked the part in it as well, and he did it in a very un-cringy way. It was just funny. You know, people like Volk. He's a good dude. And, you know, I was a bit concerned about the knockout. It was only 4 months ago. But kind of confident that he is that good at featherweight and he's going to show this guy, you know, that why he's the champ and retain the belt. And I was really hoping that's how it would go. You know, it was a pretty good first round, back and forth. Volk probably had the advantage just slightly. And then the second round was more of the same, sort of very technical, back and forth. No one was really getting the upper hand yet. And then this fella puts a combo on him, gets him on the back foot, puts a combo on him and puts the lights out, puts Volk to sleep, man. And it was just hard to watch, you know, especially after all the antics, especially after he'd lost the last fight on 12 days notice. He's starting to damage his legacy now. You know, he is the greatest featherweight of all time, but he's sort of starting to damage that legacy a bit now. And it was sad to see, man, you know, so I'm not sure where he goes from here. If he has another rematch against this guy, you know, I don't know if he's still got it at that weight class or if he goes up and does a few big name fights at you know, 155 pounds, but I just hate to see him lose a few more. You know, he had like a 26 fight win streak, man. You know, he'd never lost in the UFC before. He lost against Islam Makhachev, and now it's three out of his last four he's lost, you know. And you don't normally see people turning around after this point, as good as they are. It's just you only need to lose half a step for these other guys to catch up to you, you know. You know, it's, he set a new bar and a new standard for the featherweight division, and now it's like they've caught up. Some of them have. So it's hard to see, man. He's 35. He's not old, but, you know, these up-and-comers, man, they've got the advantage of having him as the goal for the last, you know, 7-8 years or whatever. And, you know, it's hard to maintain that while they're continually getting better and coming for you. So that may be the end of him at that level, you know. I'd hate to see him lose a few shitty fights and really damage his legacy, but he'll do whatever he does and we'll support him all the way anyway. However, the co-main event was Robert Whittaker fighting Paulo Costa, Brazilian cat, middleweights. Robert Whittaker's another Aussie, and he's had some up and down moments of late. So he's a former middleweight champ. He was the middleweight champ for a while. Lost it to Izzy, Israel Adesanya, who is probably either the number one or number two best middleweight of all time. It's either him or Anderson Silva. He lost it to Izzy with a bad knockout. Then he took a bit of time off. He said he was burnt out. Then he came back and beat, you know, four or five guys, dominated them at middleweight. Looked really good. Got a rematch against Izzy. This time it went to, for all five rounds, went to a decision. He lost the decision, but a much, much better fight. He had clearly closed the gap between him and Izzy. And then he went off and won another fight and then lost his last one, which was a bad loss. He kind of got beaten up a bit and pushed around and put away. But that guy is now the champ, DDP, Dricus du Plessis, who's a South African cat. So he's now the champ. So he's not just some contender and not just some chump. He's the current champ. So you lost against the current champ. And it wasn't like he got beaten away where he couldn't come back and compete against the guy. He just lost the fight. So it was a really big fight for him to come back and put on a showing and show that he's still there, he's still improving, he's still in the race, and he's still hungry. And he did that, man. It was a three-round war. Absolute banger of a fight, and he got the victory, and super stoked to see that, mate, because everyone loves Rob as well. And, you know, I believe that one more fight. I think if he fights Sean Strickland and beats him, he is next in line for a title shot against the guy that beat him, which would make sense. So there's some good news there, mate. And then, you know, Henry Cejudo, who's not very well liked by a lot of people in MMA, but was a double weight champion and Olympic wrestling gold medalist as well. He got pretty much dominated in his fight against Merab Dvavishvili. So that was kind of probably made a lot of people happy. Although I don't rejoice in the downfall or the defeat of other people. But yeah, I think it was, it showed where it's, I never thought he was as good as he was made to look, or wasn't made to look, but just, I hate to say luck, use the word luck when it comes to fighting, because there is no luck, but there was certainly some circumstances and some matchups at particular times that went his way that I really don't think meant he was the better fighter. And you string two or three of those together and it can put a really good shine on your career. When he, I believe he was championship level. I believe he was top two or three in the world for a period of time there. But he was talking, I mean, he beat Dominic Cruz, who's probably the best bantamweight of all time. He beat TJ Dillashaw, who's arguably, if Dom isn't, he's the best bantamweight of all time. He beat Mighty Mouse, who is the best flyweight of all time. So he beat some really good guys, you know, and just sort of caught them at the end of their careers and the wrong time for them, and it made him look really good. Again, he is really good, but it made him look better than he was. I always felt that. And that was a little bit of like justice. He lost his last fight against Aljamain Sterling. He lost this one against Aljamain's teammate, Merab Dvavishvili, and kind of got dominated. So it kind of showed that, yeah, man, you're not where you always thought you were. And a lot of us kind of suspected that, but the proof wasn't there because he was winning. And now I think it's obvious that, yeah, you're good, but you're not as good as you said and thought you were. And yeah, that's probably curtains for him as well. Yeah, what was the other fight? There was another really good fight on the main card, but I can't quite recall it. Oh, yeah, the middleweight fight, couple of cats, Rodriguez and another dude who's a Russian cat. That was a pretty good banger as well. So, yeah, good fights. Good fights. He got the first guy, that Russian cat, got choked out by the Rodriguez in the first fight, the main card. So it was good. It was a good, good day in the end. Although it was up and down for the Aussies, mate. So that's why I'm late with the podcast today. That took up most of my day yesterday, and then went back to the in-laws' house and where we were sort of spending the day and spent the evening there. Had dinner and some drinks with them, and yeah, came back here late last night. So this is me getting it in now on Monday afternoon, and I've got a few things to go into today, but I really just wanted to lay something out on the table before I go any further, because I made a bit of a mistake over the last couple of days. I hope you guys can't hear that fan in the background too loud. I can kind of hear it, but I need it on because it's warm in this room. It's been like 40 degrees every day lately, and it's a bloody hot day here. So I need a bit of fan air movement. But I made a bit of a mistake the last few days, and I just need to lay it out on the table because it's something that I'm actually embarrassed about, and I think that it's something that has the potential to look make me look like I'm not being authentic, even though I don't think other people would pick up on it. But I know about it, so I just wanted to get it out there, and try and see what I can do to resolve the situation. So it's to do with my social media. As you guys know who've been listening to this for a long time, you know that I've been trying to build up, obviously, the numbers on the podcast. This is what I want to do. I want to make this thing a success. And I believe one of the keys to that is my Instagram page. So you may think if you're just a casual Instagram or social media user, who cares about your numbers and your followers? Who gives a shit? Like, what's the big deal? And I get the sentiment because I would be that way inclined as well if it wasn't for the fact that I'm trying to build this podcast up. But the way I see it is that is a key factor to bring people over to the podcast. I think the more eyeballs I get on my Instagram, then the more earballs I can send over to the podcast. That's the way I see it. You know, I'm not super tech savvy. I'm a 40-year-old dad, mate. I'm this whole tech world is not my realm, though I am operating in it at the moment, and that is a way that I understand and I can see forward and that I see makes sense to me to build the Instagram up with content and then stay active on there and then talk about and send people over to with curiosity to the podcast and build up the numbers here. You know, I use Facebook as well, and Instagram. They're the two main ones I use to send people here. And I've been working really hard trying to build those numbers up over the last few years, and it's been a painfully slow process. I mean, the main thing you need to do is post good content and post regularly. And I do that. I believe I post good content. It's honest. It's me. It's me putting my creative efforts into it. It's me working hard at it. It's me putting time into it. It's me. I think that I have interesting things to share and to talk about. And I like putting funny videos up. And I share other people's content that I think is really interesting. Things that are important to me. And I know these are things that have a following and an impact and a growing importance in the world that we live in today. So I do believe that I have interesting quality content and authentic content that I post on there. But if there's not enough people seeing it, if you don't have a reach, as they call it on Instagram, if you don't have a big enough reach, then people just aren't seeing it, and not enough people are seeing it. So you've got all this quality content that nobody's seeing. So the numbers aren't building up. Very slowly they build up. Very slowly, drip feeding, and it's been kind of frustrating me, you know. And I want to grow those numbers. So somebody approached me from like a promotion business on online Instagram promotion business, and said they could help me grow my account. So I looked into their account. They have 120,000 followers, and it's a van life Instagram page where they post all about people living in caravans and vans and you know camper trailers and traveling and all that sort of shit, which is obviously what I'm doing. It's right up my alley. They would have got hold of me through some of my hashtags, I suppose, van life stuff. So then I looked at the page, and it all looked very legit and professional, and they're promoting real people. I checked out a bunch of the people on the page that they promote, and went and looked at their pages, and they're all real people and real accounts. And I even private messaged a couple of these people to get their opinion on the company. And basically what they say is that they will, you know, for a fee, they'll promote your page through their page. So through their platform, they'll promote your page. And the idea is that what I assumed that the 120,000 people that they have following their reach, X amount of people would see that. They go check out this profile, go, give them a like and a follow, and then that would send traffic your way, and people would come over. And if they were organically if they were organically interested in what you were doing, they'd go, "Oh, sweet, I'll follow that guy's account." It just gives you a chance to have more people see your page, and then follow along. That's what I thought. Naive me, dumbass, bloody me. You know, I mean, I joke about being a dumbass all the time, being a dumbass chippy and whatnot, and you know, I'm aware that I'm not an idiot. I joke around about that, but I'm also not a smart person. I'm aware I've been around smart people. I've listened to smart people. I know I'm not an intellectual, but I'm not an idiot. But when it comes to this social media stuff, you know, this online tech stuff, you know, I can be quite naive. I don't look into things that much. I take things at face value. I have an idea about the way business should be conducted and the way people work. And sometimes I take people at face value, and I can be naive about those things. So I thought that was a legitimate thing that they were going to do, and this seemed like a good way to help grow my Instagram page. And you know, I paid a little bit of money to them for the promotion, and it's not the money that I'm worried about. It wasn't a large amount of money. And then they post me on their page and promote me and telling me that I'm going to get X amount of followers. And I thought, that sounds like a large number, but I'd be happy if I get a few hundred or to 1,000 people view my page out of 120,000 followers, come over and boost my numbers up. And that seems like a pretty good bloody deal to me, mate. It's promotion, you know, right? But within a day of them posting my page on their page and saying, go and like and share this profile, I've just been overloaded in what is, from what I can see, you know, 90% just fake accounts, bots and, you know, whatever, bot and spam accounts, whatever they are, not real people. Thousands of them. There's like, it's just gone up another 1,000 today. There's like 5,000 followers on there today, and they're not fucking real people. And I just feel like an idiot. I feel like, oh, you fucking idiot, man. Come on, of course. Of course, this is what they do. They have whatever. I don't understand the inner workings of it, how they have connection to all those fake accounts and bots and whatever it is. But his account's probably mostly fake followers, you know? And even though I did say I messaged some of the guys who were on their page who they've been featuring the last few weeks and private messaged them, and a guy reached back out to me and said, yeah, look, they were pretty good. They helped us grow our numbers, but, you know, it's all about posting quality content and being consistent on Instagram, blah, blah. I said, yeah, I do all that, and I just need the extra little bit of a boost to get some more eyeballs onto it. So it seemed like it was legit. He was probably just embarrassed to admit that he'd been fucking duped as well, mate, because these are, again, real accounts that they're dealing with, which is what made me think it was legit. But all it is a bunch of spam accounts that are following me, you know? And now there's an unrealistic amount of followers in a short period of time, and those followers to me look like just a blank number. It's like nothing. I'm looking at 4,000 or 5,000 followers on there, and it may as well be zero because they're not real people, you know? And it feels very dirty to me. I feel like I've done something wrong. Like, oh, you're trying to trick people. I'm trying to, you know, like game the system or just make it look like I'm more successful in here than I am. And that wasn't the thought process. That wasn't the idea. It was use someone else's platform to help promote me and get more eyeballs to my page. And if they like my shit, they'll follow along. And I think that I got good enough content that they would follow along. But that isn't what it was. I don't know the percentage of fake accounts to real accounts because there's so many. But a lot of them you click on, they got all the numbers at the end of their name and, you know, underscores through the middle of their names, and you go to their page and there's 7 followers and they got 20, you know, they got 25 followers and 7 posts, and it's all generic shit. And I know a bot or fake account when I see one, and that's what most of the ones I've seen have been. So essentially I'm going to have to spend the next, I don't know how long, several weeks going through my account and deleting all anyone that's not a real account. I'm not going to have them sitting there. I'm not going to have fucking 5,000 fake followers sitting on my fucking account making it look like I have 5,000 followers who don't really engage when I don't. I don't know what that does for spamming me and my messages. I don't know what that does as far as Instagram see that. And then if I'm somehow flagged as being an illegitimate page and you can get, you know, restricted or shut down. I don't know. I don't know how all that works. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have fake followers on my page. So this is me coming, you know, just being honest to you guys and saying, yeah, I'm an idiot. I was naive. I got duped into thinking that was a realistic proposition that I was being offered. And I'm an idiot. It wasn't. It's just bullshit. You know, again, it's not the money. They only take a little bit of money from you. I guess they do this to 100 different people and that's where they make their cash. But yeah, they're fake accounts, mate, that I've been followed by. So I've got a big job ahead of me to go clean up my account now, and I guess I've learned a valuable lesson in the interim, mate. So yeah, it's embarrassing to tell this story, mate, but I think it's honest. I think it's important in the vein of authenticity and honesty. You know, I'm a human. I make mistakes. I do dumb shit as well, just like everybody else, man. And this is something dumb that I've done, and I've got to go fix it up and clean it up now. So I don't know how long that's going to take, and I don't know what the repercussions are going to be, but I'm going to go embark on a mission day by day to start chipping away at those fake followers and see how many real ones were in the bunch and see what I'm left with at the end of the day. And I will update you guys on that as things progress. I don't know how long it's going to take me. I don't know how long. I can probably guess by the look of most of their names that they're fake accounts and just fuck them off without having to click on their accounts and go into it to speed things up. And I may hit a few real people on the way down doing that, but I think, you know, time is of the essence. So you're going to weigh things up and decide what's the best course of action for you. So I don't know, man. It was, like I said, super embarrassing, but that's where we're at, and I'm just being honest with you guys because authenticity is super important to me, man, and I cannot have an Instagram account that's fake, that's bolstered up numbers, that's not the real deal, and be sitting here acting like I am the real deal. So that's not who I am, man. So, yeah, there we go. That's out on the table. We'll see how I go sorting all that up, man, sorting all that out. Oh, what a fuck up. What a fuck around. But anyway, I wanted to touch just briefly today on I listened to a great podcast on the weekend. It was funny because I already had a bunch of these points sort of mapped out for this week's podcast, which I'm only going to breeze over now because I've spent enough time talking about other things. But then I heard this podcast. It was just great because that was the same vein that I was already working of the content I was already working on, and just it was Brett Weinstein on the Joe Rogan Experience. Maybe some of you guys listened to it. If you didn't, go give it a listen. It's a great podcast. And just, you know, you talk about, when I talk about, I know that I'm not smart because I listen to other smart people talk. Well, Brett Weinstein's one of those guys who is a super smart and articulate guy, and he knows a lot about what's going on with the things I've been talking about on this podcast and on my platform of late, around shit in the background, stuff with the WEF and these global elites and the things that are happening in the background. And it was just great to hear his take on a lot of these things, and he goes quite in depth in it. You know, and it was I don't know, it's quite scary to see the depth of some of this stuff, but really encouraging to know that there is minds as sharp, as bright as Brett Weinstein, and people as influential as Joe Rogan who are talking about this stuff and who are aware of it and who are kind of up for the battle that is being undertaken, whether people realise it or not. It was funny because you hear this term global elites, global elites, global elites, and it kind of sounds like a buzz phrase, you know. Like, what the fuck, global elites, what does that even mean? But the truth of the matter is that there is a group of people who are multi-billionaires who sort of exist outside of their government structures because they control members of the government and they have more power than the government, more money than the governments, and they kind of exist in their – they have their own network and their own group, and they meet together and they have an agenda. Obviously, they have an agenda. They're not dumb, complacent people. And so there is a group of people who are, again, from all around the world, who are the elites because they're billionaires, and they are the global elites. It's a real thing. And it's funny because a lot of the things that these people are influential in don't seem to make sense at face value. This is what Brett Weinstein went into. And it's something that made so much sense to me because I knew exactly what he was talking about. It doesn't make sense at face value if you think that the name of the game is just money, because they do things like restrict what people can talk about and share and whatnot on social media platforms, which essentially lessens the sensationalism on those platforms and would be something you would think would, you know, as media and news and TV show platforms have been doing for years, you kind of want controversy on your channels. You want the sensationalism, so that brings eyeballs to your platform. This is just one example, but they don't do that. They restrict things because they have an agenda. And once you realize that the game is more about power and control than it is money, and money is more of a byproduct, or, you know, the money is something that will come when you secure power and control, then it starts to make a bit more sense to you. Like, these people already have all the money, and they're aware that we're in a changing world with a changing environment, changing economy. Money itself is changing. You know, there's going to be a lot more digital currencies, and what money means and how you're going to use it is all changing. So what it seems like these people are doing is what's the word? They're shoring up their wealth, their fortunes, and their power for the future, for the changing world, making sure that they have things in place that they're going to be able to control the markets, control the economy, control how money's spent, control what industries are important, what industries make money, control those sorts of things, so that it never gets out of hand where they're left behind or they're in a position where they're going to lose wealth or lose power. So that seems to be the game. And they've done some things, obviously, during COVID. This is kind of when they stuck their head out of the dark shadows and we saw the hand at play. You know, the dirty hand came out from behind the curtain and we saw it touching things quite obviously. And we're like, hey, what the fuck? And that's become more and more obvious to us as we've you know, moved on from COVID, and a lot more people are speaking about this, and there's just a lot of examples of it, and we're seeing governments with huge, heavy-handed tactics, restricting people's freedoms and liberties, especially in places like Canada. Australia have got some crazy ideas and crazy bills they're trying to pass in the background. We spoke about last week about centralized digital currencies and digital IDs, and there's all these other things in the background that are coming through, and it just seems like they're bringing up their puppet that are at play for a larger force, which is exactly what they are. And where was I going with that? It just seems that I think it's people who still think that the politicians that we see that we vote in really have all the power and they're making the decisions. I think that's quite and that it's a conspiracy theory to think otherwise. I think that's quite naive in itself. You know, I was talking about myself being naive before, but I think that's quite a naive stance, if that's what you really believe, that these people who act and on 4 to 8 year cycles, you know, you vote government members in for 4 to 8 years, if they're lucky 8 years, to think that those people in that time frame with that much time to play are really steering the entire culture and economy and, you know, the whole way that the whole world or Western world is sort of going, to think those people are really have that much power in that short of period of time, and they can't even agree on the simple things, they can't get the basic things right, that seems kind of naive to me. We hear about the deep state all the time, and what that just is the people that are in the government who are in jobs that they don't go on that election cycle, they don't get voted in, they're in jobs and they stay there for 20-30 years. And there's also those people, believe it or not, to get into those positions, and when they're in those positions, have friends in high places, friends with money, friends who have influence, friends who can help sway voters, friends that are in huge, own huge corporations that can really make a difference in where the power lies and who gets to who and who gets a say in what bills get passed and where the money is spent and where the money is invested. These guys are the ones that are playing the strings in the background, and it really doesn't matter to them too much who comes in on that 4 to 8 year cycle. They just have their ways of controlling it. We've seen that so much lately, where you've had presidents in, you know, Obama was going to change the world, and he gets in and nothing changes. You know, you've got Biden in there who's not even a fucking wake at the wheel, yet the whole country's still running. It's moving forward. It's clearly not him running it. So who is running it? There's other people in the background running it. And you also saw that when it came to, you know, and this happens in Australia as well, nothing really changes, Labor or Liberal. There's a few different tweaks here and there, the way they spend money, you know, on specific things, but nothing really changes. They've got their pet hates, their pet goals that they try and get across, but things stay pretty much the same because I don't think it really matters to these elites. And that's what I think we saw with the whole Trump thing. He seemed to be outside of that system and stirred things up. Now, whether or not he's smart enough or articulate enough or even with a four-year period left would have enough time to do any damage in that time period would be you know, something that we're yet to see, but I definitely think that it makes sense that there's other people at the steering wheel, you know, other people at control of the big decisions. So, you know, that's something that Brett Weinstein went deep into, and I think that, you know, instead of listening to me fumble around the fucking issues and talk about these things and you know, give you the, which I do, I'm happy to do, because this is what I've said, I believe that it. Part of what I want to do here is bring these ideas to people who wouldn't otherwise hear them, but then really it's just for you to investigate them yourself. So hear me talk about it, go, oh, really? That sounds interesting. Then go listen to somebody else who knows what they're talking about and go on a real deep dive for yourself. I'm just here as a bit of a you know, purveyor of the idea. And then I want you guys to go check it out for yourself. But they also went into something that I was talking about recently that was, you know, in the short term, it's been a win, but the possibility for the long-term plan is terrifying, which was the strikes and the way the governments have been cracking down and treating the European farmers recently. We spoke about it recently on the podcast, and I've been posting a few clips around it. So they're putting all these restrictions in place on how much crop they can yield and how many animals they can have and how much fertilizer they can use, and, you know, telling the Irish farmers have to kill X amount of their cows because they're farting and causing methane that's damaging the ozone layer, which is ridiculous when we've spoken about China and how many fucking coal plants they have and how much fucking emissions they're pumping out, but the Irish farmer's going to go kill fucking a few thousand cows. It's ridiculous. But that's what they were saying. And they're putting restrictions on these farmers in France and Germany, and they took to the main cities and started spraying manure all over the government buildings, and the citizens stood behind them, and there was protests and strikes in the street. Oh, what, you didn't hear about it on mainstream media? Funny. I mean, not surprised. That's what's been going on in the world lately, right? And they seem to have backed off, and these guys of these tariffs and these levies and these conditions have been lifted, and the farmers have seemed to have had a small win here at the moment, which is great, you know, and great that the people backed them, because you're fucking with our food supply. And therein lies the really dark, sinister idea. This is an idea. Nobody knows if this is true, but it definitely seems like it ties in with everything else that we've been talking about, and it seems like a pretty good, pretty smart idea as well. Why would you put that kind of pressure on the farmers? We need food. Whether you're in the plant-based community or you're in the animal-based community, we need food. We need meat, and we need vegetables and fruits. We need wheats and grains, and we need all that, right, to feed our huge populations. So why would you put pressure on those people and make an already terribly difficult job harder? Well, if you were, forgive me for going back to this, but if you were part of a global elitist group who had plans on having more control and power over, you know, most of the world, then a huge way you could take control would be to run the farmers out of business because you're making it too difficult for them to survive, and then scoop in and buy all the farms or large portions of the farms and farmlands, and then you control the world's food supply. And then when you tell people what they need to do in the next pandemic, which, by the way, they're already planning for, Disease X they're talking about. They're also talking about all the stipulations they can put in place next time there's a pandemic, learning off what they failed at last time during COVID. They're learning how to get around those loopholes and how to get in front of those things and get ahead of those things and have more control next time around, ensure people adhere to lockdowns, ensure people get the vaccinations they want, ensure the drugs that people want to use as an alternative aren't available. This is all being planned out by the WHO, and they've been talking to world leaders in the NATO countries about this. They're trying to plan this out. They're talking about Disease X. They're even talking about climate control as one of these pandemics. It's terrifying shit. So when you think about these people and this is the kind of control they want to have on the world, doesn't it make sense that they would want to run the farmers out of business and then come and scoop up and buy all the farms and control the world's food supply? And then when you say something about what people need to do, they're really going to have to listen because you control the food. Terrifying, terrifying, terrifying shit. But good that people are talking about it, and it seems like the cat may be out of the bag there, and we can get a bit of get ahead of it a little bit and try and limit that the success of that. Hold on, I've got my daughter knocking on the door here. I'll be back in a second. All right, bloody hell. Had some technical difficulties there, as well as some children difficulties. I'm home alone with the kids at the moment, so I've given them a bit of screen time, and they're arguing over a charger, which means I need to wrap it up. I need to get out of here. They've had an hour on the iPads now, so I need to get the little buggers off and take them down the beach for a swim. We all need to get outside and get some sun, some air. So, look, I apologise if I started ranting again there, but I do think this shit is important. Go check out that podcast with Brett Weinstein. And also, if you are interested in some of this stuff, there's a few accounts you can follow, some guys that are pretty good with the info. Matt Attack on Instagram is a good one. He posts, he's a journalist, an independent journalist, you know, like a social media journalist, and he posts some really good stuff that exposes a lot of the bullshit that's going on in the background. In particular, there was a post of his that blew up that was reshared by Joe Rogan, which is what kind of blew the guy up. It was a photo of anti-Trump protesters outside the courtroom, as in making out like there was all these people protesting Trump outside the courtroom. And then there's a whole view shot of the scene that shows that there was only two protesters there, and it was a setup by other reporters there was a bunch of reporters standing around, two protesters who were there. It was a staged photo, and they sent it out as if it was this huge protest that was going on and all these people were protesting Trump just to spin the narrative in a particular way that they want it to be spun, which is lying. They're lying. And this is the type of tricks that people are willing to use to fool us. And you really do have to look into these things and try and get your information from as many different places as possible and see if you can peel the curtain open and have a look behind as much as possible. And really just find people who you trust. And whether or not they're correct, you at least need to trust that they're telling you the truth as they know it, because that seems to be the most important thing, really, I think. Again, leading back to why I told that story earlier about myself fucking up and temporarily ruining my Instagram account. So I'm gonna go take the kids down the beach. Gonna hang out with them for a little bit. I think I've said enough for this podcast for now, anyways. Yeah, yeah. It was an important one for me to get off today. I had a outside of that thing with the social media fuck up, I had an interaction with a mate this weekend that was, you know, mate left me concerned for him. And that's been playing on my mind sort of all last night. And yeah, I was awake in the middle of the night thinking about it, and that's kind of really been heavy on my heart. So I've just been a bit down today as well, you know, and just the more often I go off my diet and drink too much or eat shitty food and things like that, the less and less, I think I've said this before, the less and less worth it is to me. I come to a Monday morning, I didn't even train this morning, which is, you know, very, very unlike me. I've been 6 days a week pretty religiously for a long time now. So I'm a little bit down the dumps today, didn't train, got a stresses on my mind from my mate who I'm a bit concerned about, you know, still recovering just mentally from the weekend, really. And I just don't know how worth it is having those weekends off as such. You know, I still get active and move around and try and keep, you know, healthy-ish. But, you know, you stack too many of those little bad decisions on top of each other and you can kind of pay for it during the week, which is where I'm at a little bit today. So it was important for me to get in here and get this done and get some of this stuff off my chest anyway. And like I said, be really honest with you guys about what's going on with the Instagram at the moment. And I am going to go through and clean that up no matter how long it takes me. And I've learned from my mistakes. I've learned a valuable lesson here anyway. And maybe I need to be not so naive moving forward and just let the thing grow organically, I guess, is all I can do. So, yeah, there was another growth tool that I heard about the other day, which is an organic growth tool, which is about a blog, writing a blog. And I do have Substack, so I may start posting some more of my stuff on Substack, which would be ideas that I talk about on this podcast as fleshed out in written longer form, and then I can kind of use some of those ideas to bring over to the podcast as well and vice versa. So that's something I'm going to start this week. I'm going to work on some content during this week, and I will post it on Substack or start trying to do that maybe on a Friday evening or a Saturday, something like that, and then have the podcast on the Sunday. So that's kind of going to be the routine I'm looking at doing moving forward. So thank you guys for listening. Appreciate your time always. And let's just keep it organic and tell your mates to go follow me on Instagram and listen to the podcast, and let's help grow this thing, because it really is something that's really important to me. So appreciate your time. Got my daughter knocking on the door again. Got to get out of here. Off to the beach for us. Average Man Podcast, over and out. Episode 199. Yeah. All right. Got to go. See ya. Peace.